So for the sermon, we've got it started. And greetings to those who are on the telephone and as well on the cybercast. Today, let's begin with this scripture, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Matthew 23, 23. In this chapter, Jesus was talking to the multitudes and to his disciples about the scribes and the Pharisees. It is a scathing rebuke of their conduct and behavior. Verse 23 speaks to one of their problems, that of neglecting the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith, while being very mindful of the minutest details of paying tithe of mint and anise and cumin. One of the matters of the law spoken of here is justice. That is in the New King James Version. In the King James Version, it has the word judgment. So why is justice or judgment important? Why is it a weightier matter of the law? To find the answer, we're going to look into the law, the prophets, and the writings that have been preserved for all mankind to learn from. So a little bit of background about these words. The words translated as justice or judgment in Matthew 23:23. The Greek word is pronounced krisis, spelled K-R-I-S-I-S, as in crisis in the English language, except the C is K. Vine's expository dictionary says the meaning is this. It primarily denotes a separating, then a decision, judgment. So first step is a separation, and the second step is a decision and a judgment. It can also refer to the word condemnation, and it has been translated into that word as well. Under that word in Vines, it says of krisis, and this is what it says. It denotes the process of investigation, the act of distinguishing and separating. Hence, a judging, a passing of judgment upon a person or thing. It has a variety of meanings, such as judicial authority, like a court, superior court, appeals court, and whatever other judicial authority. It also has a variety of meaning, justice, a tribunal, a trial, a judgment. And so, and he gives various scriptures for each one of those that describes those particular meanings. By metonymy, the standard of judgment, just dealing. The standard of judgment, just dealing. And it gives three verses or three scriptures, Matthew 12, 18, 20, and then also mentioned Matthew 23, 23. And then it also mentions Luke 11, 42. So when we look at this, having this standard of judgment and just dealings, what would those investigations, the looking into the facts of the various cases be based on? What would that be based on? The foundation of investigation is, and the passing of judgment, is God's law. It's the law of God. You can write down Psalm 119, verses 172. All your commandments are righteous. all your commandments are righteous. And then you look at Romans 7, verse 12. You can turn there if you like. Romans 7, verse 12. It says that Paul writes this, "Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." The word just can also mean equitable. Equitable. It applies to every human being. It is fair to every human being. God's law does not pull any favorites. It applies to every human being, and it is fair. So now, where do we begin as we look into the law and the prophets and the writings? We can look at examples of people who were just in their dealings, as we see by what Vine says, standard of judgment and then just dealing. Who were just in their dealings and they exercised a standard of judgment that was pleasing to God. The reason why it was pleasing, because those acts and those dealings were based on His law. Let's take a look at the example of Noah. Noah is found in Genesis chapter 6. We'll find where Noah's character is described. Noah is described in Genesis 6 verses 8 and 9 in this manner. This prior to the flood in verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Verse 9, "This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God." So you see the relationship that Noah had with his Creator, and it was pleasing to God. This example of Noah shows that Noah was a just man. The meaning of just here in the Hebrew sense, its meaning is just, lawful, and righteous. So the Hebrew word is related to justice. It's a sense of rightness and of being morally right. And so then we go to the next example, and which we find in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, and I suppose you can guess that this particular person we'll turn to is Abraham. Abraham. The context of chapter 18 speaks to the arrival of three men. And that's verse 2. "And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him." And we see in verse 1 that the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre. So there's these three men. "And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them. And he bowed himself to the ground and said, 'My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant.'" And so you notice that he wasn't told, "Hey, stand on your feet, for I'm a servant like yours." No. This person was the Lord who accepted this act of worship as Abraham bowed himself to the ground. But now, notice in verses 16 through 19 what the Lord says of Abraham. Verse 16, "Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on their way. And the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?' Shall I hide what I'm going to do from him?" Verse 19, For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him. After his particular example, after his beliefs, after the strength of his way of life that he was living. I know him in order that he may command that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. To do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. In the King James Version, it says, to do justice and judgment. So that's the title of the sermon. I put it in such a way as justice and judgment. Or you can transfer the words, make it judgment and justice. But those are interesting choice of words. Justice and judgment. Because here's what I want to bring out to you from the Brown, Driver, Briggs, Hebrew definitions. And what this dictionary shows about the word justice. It's a Hebrew Strong's number 6666. Oh, I added one more six. So we got, it's not one of the three of them, but it's the four. Hebrew number 6666, justice. And it has a number of sweet and simple words that relate to it. Justice, righteousness. Then you have righteousness in government. And under that, in the government, you have the righteousness of the judge, of the ruler, of the king. And then you have the righteousness of law. And then you have the righteousness of the Davidic king, Messiah. And then the next point under justice and righteousness is the righteousness of God's attributes. And then the next one is righteousness in a case or cause, in a lawsuit. And then the righteousness comes out when such a case is brought before the judge or the ruler. And then the next one is righteousness, truthfulness. Truthfulness is added as a part of it as well. And then you have righteousness as ethically right in the matter of ethics. We perform what is right. Then righteousness has vindicated justification or salvation. And that under that point, we have the righteousness of God and the righteousness of people in the way that God has blessed them for their righteousness, that they have been prospered by God. His prosperity has been given to them by their Lord God. So that's kind of puts it into a nutshell of the various meanings and how it is applied, this word justice. And you can see how it affects an entire society if everyone acted this way and relied on God and had this wonderful relationship with him, and to do rights, to do judgment and justice. So let's take a look at the judgments per Brown, Driver, and Briggs Dictionary, Hebrew word, Strong's number 4941. And they got a number of points here as well. Judgment, justice, ordinance. Judgment, act of deciding a case. So there's the actual act. After the investigation, it's the deciding of that case. And then you have judgment, and the judgment place, or the court, or the seat of judgment. So it's a noun that can apply to this object. And then you have the process, judgment process, the procedure, the litigation before judges. And then you have the case and the cause that's presented for judgment. Then you have the sentence, decision of judgment. And then you have the execution of judgment. Then you have the time of judgment. What comes to your mind when you think of the time of judgment? The eighth day, the last great day, when everybody comes before God. God opens up the books, and people are judged according to the books, which would be the Bible. We see that in Revelation. And then justice, right, rectitude, attributes of God or man. An ordinance, a decision in law, a right, privilege, or due, the legal aspect. Then proper, fitting, measure, fitness, custom, manner, and plan. And so that kind of gives you an overview in that sense, too, of the exercise of law in the manner of judgment. And again, it's based on the law of God, in which we see that all your commandments are righteous. Now, and when I look for the exact phrase, judgment and justice, when I did a search on Esord, looked at it in both New King James as well as the King James, using that phrase in the Old Testament, it came up with 10 verses that contains that exact phrase, judgment and justice. But when you read the scriptures that it referred to, it gives you some insight. It gives you some interesting insights. So when we look at those, first we see that judgment and justice talks about the example of King David. King David, and also of the initial life as a ruler of the King Solomon. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel in chapter 8 and verse 15. 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 15. Here we're dealing with the activities and events in the life of King David. This is what it said of King David in 2 Samuel 8, verse 15, in the King James, as well as in the New King James. So David reigned over all Israel, and David administered judgment and justice to all his people. And there is a corollary scripture to this one. You'll find that in 1 Chronicles 18, verse 14. It says practically the same thing, remarking as to the what David has done and that he executed judgment and justice to all his people. The next, so those are two scriptures. The next scripture we can find in 1 Kings 10 and verse 9. 1 Kings 10, verse 9. And again, we're talking about incident here where the Queen of Sheba visited Solomon, and she was quite impressed with what she saw. And what she was hearing, she had to go and see if this was really the case. In verse 10, and verse 1 of chapter 10, 1 Kings. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions, testing his wisdom, but also, I suppose she had the desire to test him because of what she had heard, that he gained this from God, from the Lord. So she came to Jerusalem with a very great residue, and so on. And verse 3, Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And so here's what she saw, verses 4. So when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. In other words, she wasn't of a, you know, desire to test him to find out, there's got to be something wrong here, there's got to be a flaw. But that was wiped away when she saw all that was there. And verse 6, then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw it with my own eyes. She must have been from Missouri. A side comment. It doesn't apply here. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. It's far greater than what she had heard about. Then verse 8. She said, happy are your men, and happy are these your servants, who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Verse 9. Here's Queen of Sheba's comment. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do what? To do justice and righteousness. Righteousness in the New King James. King James says judgment. To do judgment and justice. The Lord God and Solomon had a wonderful relationship. And the Lord blessed Solomon for his choice to have the wisdom to exercise, to be able to rule the people of God, the nation of Israel. The corollary scripture is found in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 9, verse 8. So you'll see the same reference there in the different portion of the history of the people of Israel. Now, the next scripture that was brought out in Esau using the words judgment and justice is found in Psalm 119, the 119th Psalm. And of course, we know much of the Psalms have been written by King David. Psalm 119. The same chapter where we read in Psalm 119, verse 172, it says, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. And then David said in verse 121, he said, I have done justice and righteousness. Or in the King James Version, I have done judgment and justice. Do not leave me to my oppressors. An appeal to the Father, through Jesus Christ, the Word of the God. Because he has done this, because he's done what was pleasing to God, he says, do not leave me to my oppressors. Because he has done judgment and justice. So there we see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses or scriptures that Esau brought out regarding the term judgment and justice. But here are a couple of scriptures now. This refers to those people, rulers, kings, whoever, who do not do judgment and justice, who don't do those. Ecclesiastes 5. Turn to Ecclesiastes 5. Of course, Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, and to show some of the observations that he's made regarding mankind, regarding the relationship with God, and what the final lesson that we find in Ecclesiastes 12 is to obey God and to do His will. In Ecclesiastes 5, and I'm going to share with you the King James Version of verse 8. If you see the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment in a province, marvel not at the manner, at the matter. There are people who will oppress the poor. They pervert judgment and justice in their ruling region, dominion, in a violent manner. In other words, just tossing it out, not even paying attention to it. And the people suffer for it. Marvel not at the matter. Why? For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. The time is coming when those people will learn to execute judgment and justice. They will learn what it means to do it. That time will come. That's a part of the plan of God. Then you see it in Jeremiah as well. Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22. When Jeremiah wrote these various words. Jeremiah chapter 22. Let's find out who spoke these words. Then in verse 15, again, he was talking about, let's take a look at the words here in verse 11. I'm going to read it from the New King James. Where thus says the Lord concerning Shalom, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, who reigned instead of his Josiah, his father, who went from this place. He shall not return here anymore. But he shall die in the place where they have led him captive, and shall see this land no more. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wage and gives him nothing for his work. Certainly not just dealings, is it? Who says, I will build myself a wide house with spacious chambers, cut out windows for it, paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion. Verse 15. Shall you reign because you enclose yourself in cedar? Did not your father, Josiah, eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? King James says judgment and justice. Then, because he did that, it was well with him. But his son did not receive such a blessing. Now, there are two more scriptures that I would want to show and share with you. But these two scriptures that came up with the words judgment and justice in the exact phrase point to the future. Since we are in Jeremiah, let's go to Jeremiah 23, the next chapter. Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. So we see the Lord, the eternal God, is speaking. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my flock, who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them, who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. That's in the New King James. King James says, execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Really connects the law of God, the righteousness of God, to judgment and justice, to the manner in which we ought to deal with one another, and to be able to deal with those even in the world tomorrow and on beyond. It's that kind of mind of Christ that we need to absorb, as I said within the video, BT Video Dailies, to absorb that mind of Jesus Christ. Then the next one that referred to judgment and justice was found in Ezekiel. Scrub the I and the S now. Ezekiel chapter 45. Ezekiel 45. Now in this part of the book, Ezekiel, we're talking about the section is talking about the future, the new city, a new temple, and all of the trappings, that are part of the city as well as the temple. That's something in the future. Ezekiel 45, let's look at verse 9. Let's go back to verse 8, because there is something interesting. The land shall be his possession in Israel, and my princes shall no more oppress my people, but they shall give the rest of the land to the house of Israel according to their tribes. Verse 9. Thus says the Lord God, enough, O princes of Israel, remove violence and plundering, execute justice and righteousness, or judgment and justice, and stop dispossessing my people, says the Lord God. So take away your exactions, the taxes, what you oppress the people with, where it becomes a huge burden upon the subjects. So you see that. That's applying to the future. As we head into the fall festival feast season, there is one scripture that is pointed to quite a bit about Jesus Christ. And that you find in this prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9. If we go back there, we'll see this prophecy about the future ruler of the world. A wonderful prophecy, something that all mankind can look forward to. We hear of it during the Christmas time because they use it, the scripture. Isaiah chapter 9 and verses, let's start with verse 6 and going on through verse 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. That government, the government of justice and judgment, of equity, of being fair to all peoples. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Of upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. That's the foundation of this government that is to come. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so that is prophetic of a government to come. It will execute judgment and justice. It will execute processes that are fair to everyone. It reminds you of the reference to God, that God is not a respecter of persons. Some people can look at that and he's in a certain way, but God is not a respecter of persons. Everything that he does is fair to everyone. A person may not think so, but from God's point of view, from his basis of law, his own law, he knows that works. It is fair. So we are being pointed to the fulfillment of the holy days, of the fall holy days, and on into eternity. Let's take a look at Psalm 89. Take a look at a little bit more of what David wrote. Psalm 89. Psalm 89. And let's read verses 11 through 14. As it begins here, it says it's a contemplation of Ethan the Ezrahite. Interesting, as it's included in the psalm, the book of Psalms. Verse 11, the heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all its fullness, you have founded them, the north and the south, you have created them. What does that mean? It relates to the magnetic poles. Magnetic fields, that could be, and then north and south. You know, how do we know which way is north? How do we know which way is south? Well, God established that, and apparently some shown that to Abraham, who was also an excellent astronomer, taught much to the people around him. Tabor and Hermon rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. In other words, judgment and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. And then we turn to Psalm 103. Taking a look at Psalm 103. Oh, by the way, if you'll notice, it's Psalm 97. As you go on heading towards Psalm 103, rather. Psalm 97, verse 2. Again, this is a song of praise to the eternal God. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Again, it repeats that point. Righteousness and justice. Judgment that is done in righteousness with the righteousness of God's commandments and his law. Psalm 103. This is a psalm of David. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness. King James says judgment. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And that even applies to today in our relationship with God. We live our human lives. We have called upon him, we cry out to him. And he listens to his people, his children of spiritual Israel. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. So it goes on in praising God, praising Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our High Priest. Now that we see this, that judgment and justice are the foundation of God's throne, His rule, we see that it's not extant in the world today because it is ruled by Satan, the devil. He hates laws of God. He hates those people who follow God. And we look around in the world today, we see the lack of equity. We see the lack of justice. I tried to find it briefly earlier this week, but I remember in one of the major prophets that justice is turned upside down. You'll remember that. And that's what's happening in the world today. We see that's going on. But let's ask ourselves, what is required of us today? What's required of us today? Now that we have this background, what does God expect of us? Proverbs 21, it gives the insight in the heart and the mind of the individual who looks to God. Proverbs 21. Let's start with verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. God has that kind of power. And every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So there's a man, every one of us on this earth, we have what we think is right. This is our righteousness. This is our judgment. We think this ought to be the justice we ought to exercise. But the Lord weighs the hearts. Verse 3. To do righteousness and justice, interesting, is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Than sacrifice. You know, people of the Old Testament gave sacrifices. According to the Levitical system. But they didn't do anything more. That's what it looks like here. They didn't do anything more than just the physical acts. But of the mind and the heart of the individual, when he set himself to do righteousness and justice, that is much more acceptable to God. Micah chapter 6. We have heard this particular scripture as well. Micah chapter 6. Where God in this particular chapter is pleading with Israel, reminding them of the history and their history. And then he says in verse 6 of Micah 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It's a powerful statement. It's a simple statement, but this is what God requires of us, requires of mankind, of everyone, to be able to turn to Him and to learn of the law of God and to live his life according to that law, which is the righteous law, which is a just law, it's a holy law. And because of that, we can praise God for that knowledge. Psalm 106, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. It's interesting, not only in Psalm 136, but scattered throughout this psalm, these words are used. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Verse 2. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can express that? All of those acts that he has done. Or who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. The scribes and Pharisees neglected the weightier matters of the law. In the matter of judgment and justice, they were found wanting. Throughout that chapter, Matthew 23, he shows the number of things that the scribes and Pharisees were doing, and it was so contrary to the heart and mind of God and of his righteousness and of his law. So as we head into the fall festival of 2014, let's strive to fulfill what God and Christ are expecting of us, to do judgment and justice, to do that now. And then we do that relying on God and Jesus Christ to do their work in us, to fulfill in us and to help us to prepare to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God.